What up, what up? Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Pod. Today, we are taking a deep dive into week three programming for the semifinals that are taking place. We're reviewing the Far East Throwdown for all six events, and specifically, of course, the four that they had the hand and responsibility to program. And then, of course, the showdown of all throwdowns, the Granite Games, that's taking place this weekend, which I am in Minnesota for here firsthand, getting to coach my guy Chase Merrill through and getting to have a great experience. So nonetheless, hopefully you guys enjoy this review. Hey, there are some things that I'm a little bit critical about, and I'll particularly give you the hint that it ain't with the Granite Games. So take a listen. Think about the programming for yourself. What do you like? What don't you like? Are the points that I'm making valid? And if you don't like them, comment, give a review, make a share. I know everybody got their own opinion on this subject, so that's why we're leaning into it. Nonetheless, week three is here. Can't wait to see the show. All right. What up, guys? This is week three of the CrossFit semifinals, and I'm back again, solo dolo. And I'm actually on the road. We're already here in Minnesota. I'm going to get to coach Chase through his experience here at the Granite Games, and I couldn't be more excited. But I wanted to get with you guys and still connect on a programming review. We've done it so far the last 2 weeks. People are tuning in. People seem to enjoy it. And of course, everybody's got their own flavor and perspective. So I like to share my own, specifically that I've had a hand in a lot of programming over the last 10 years. It's something that I consider myself certainly not a pro at, certainly not a master at, but I'm certainly a student of the game and I find great interest in it. So we're going to dive in first. We're going to talk through two semifinals. We're going to specifically focus on the individuals, the Far East Throwdown. Now, this is taking place over in the Asia area. I don't know exactly where, but I do have another athlete over there, Hajer Jamal, throwing down. I hope she crushes it. She's a tremendous example to me as an athlete and a tremendous example in general of someone who really lives for what they love. It's a tremendous passion of Hajer's, and I've gotten to know her over the last couple of years. She's the fittest woman in Kuwait, several times running, and it's not really common for women to pursue what she's pursuing in her country. Women aren't necessarily as empowered as they are in many different areas of the world to have the freedom to do fitness at a high level, and it might not be perceived as the feminine lifestyle or the thing to do, and yet look at the things that she's done. She's been to the CrossFit Games, and she's going to be throwing down here at the semifinals, and I just wanted to give her some love. So great job, Hajer. I couldn't be more proud to work with you and help you through this journey. But what are these athletes going to get to do? That's the question. Friday, that is today when I'll be launching this episode. But event one for them is called Crossing the Guang and Bridge. Now, three rounds for time of 18 calorie row for the men, 15 for the ladies, 9 muscle ups, 12 hang snatch at 135.95. This workout has a tremendous amount of OG CrossFit old school flavor. And I say that because of the rep schemes. It's a traditional triplet, three rounds for time. The weights aren't terribly high. And I believe the snatches can be caught any way that you prefer. So they can be hang power snatches, which I would assume the vast majority of the field will do. But what I do like about this event is that it's very pulling redundant. You're going to have something in your hands and you're pulling with it for all three movements. So that can be a sneaky aspect of the workout. I don't know if I mentioned this, but the time cap is 12 minutes. And with that being said, 27 ring muscle ups, 36 hang snatches, and then of course the time that they will be spending on the rower will act as a challenge for sure for these athletes. I love this workout because of the transfer of skill and the bit of local muscle fatigue that will take place within the event. So there's a little bit more to it than meets the eye right off the gate or out the bat, but it's going to be a great test. And I think we'll see several athletes, of course, even in this region here, particularly finishing this workout. Now, I do want to let you guys know this semifinal actually only gets two spots to the CrossFit Games. So people are fighting tooth and nail. It's a lot like what we saw last week at the fittest in Cape Town in Africa. And that's going to be a great way to kick off the weekend. It's relatively well balanced. Big engine athletes are going to have great success. And there's really nothing there weight-wise that I think is going to create an issue for any particular person. Of course, some of the athletes are going to be breaking up the hang snatches, and some of the athletes are going to be breaking up the muscle-ups, but there will be a few that are able to just kind of streamline through this thing in a very smooth cadence, probably unbroken throughout. Event two is going to be the barbell complex. We've talked a lot about this over the last 3 weeks. You're going to get three attempts at a max load. This is CrossFit HQ's version of what they released as our max lift attempt. Three cleans, two front squats, one shoulder to overhead anyway. Then they're going to back-to-back this thing on Saturday morning, or the first event on Saturday. Event three is going to be also the HQ released event of the 2014 regional event five repeat. One legless rope climb to 15 feet, run 170 feet. We know this is 10 rounds for time, and it's going to be an 11-minute time cap. Then you're going to get some time to rest and refurbish. And I don't know exactly the way that these athletes are going to be asked to have event turnaround, but we do know, like here, from what we've seen in the last few weeks and even here at Granite Games, to set the stage for you guys so you have a clear understanding. I mean, you know, my athlete doesn't even take the floor until 4 p.m. this afternoon for event one, and then again at 8 p.m. I mean, it is a wild twist on when most people commonly have the opportunity to train and set up their training schedule. So it's a unique twist. I don't know what these athletes are experiencing there at the Far East Throwdown, but it's just something to always be aware of when you are a spectator, especially when you're watching at home and the time zones are a little different. Event four, the PM workout for event two is short or long, and it's four time. It's a really cool chipper. 200 double unders, 100 foot handstand walk, then five snatches at 185 for men, 125 for ladies, four snatches, 205 for men, 135 for ladies, three snatches at 225 for men, 145 for ladies, two snatches at 245 for men, 155 for ladies, and one snatch at 265 for the men and 165 for the ladies. The time cap here is 12 minutes. What I like about this is that there's an ode to the previous regional snatch ladder that we've seen before. The loads are very similar. Now the reps are different. And in that time when this snatch ladder appeared in these weights, it was a 10-8-6-4-2 ladder with only snatches. But this time they're building up a bit of pre-fatigue with the 200 double unders and the handstand walk, which act as, you know, an element to tie some more skills into this weekend, which I appreciate. And then you get to show your stuff with the barbell. I think a lot of athletes are going to get time capped in this particular area of the world doing this at the Far East Throwdown. But I think what a show it'll be for the athletes at the top, particularly the two or three that are vying for that spot or those spots to qualify for the CrossFit Games. I really like this event. In fact, I'd really like to see this as well. Something like this with some higher level elites, like at a competition like we're here at this weekend for the Granite Games, Mid-Atlantic, or some of the others, just to really watch some of our heavy hitters take a run at a program like this, where they might even have the opportunity to receive the snatches wherever they'd like. Now we're going to advance forward to... Actually, I'm going to pause there. I want to let you guys know where my thoughts were here. So short or long is a good event. I like the test. My problem is now we're 2 days in and we've already seen the same movement twice. Well, this is a snatch here for this short or long. So it's coming from the floor. I get it. But then we also just did hang snatches with a barbell as well. So that's two barbell snatch variations. Already too much, right? Literally already too much. When you have six workouts and we're talking about a program where you have constant variance and the endless opportunity to choose and select and even create movement patterns, why? Why are we snatching on day one and snatching on day two? Then we're going to segue forward into day three. This is called the Far East Chipper. Four time, 40 handstand pushups, 40 wall ball shots, 40, you guessed it, dumbbell snatches. Oh my goodness, we're snatching again on day three. What a whiff here. Then we're going to do a 1200 meter run. Then we're going to do 40 GHD sit-ups. Then we're going to do 40 toes to bar. Then we're going to do 40 box jump overs. Okay. Now, here's what I will say. I like the flow of this workout. I love that it's a chipper. I like that they have a general theme of 40s throughout. I like that the 1200 meter run is smack dab there in the middle. It is going to act as a good test. The 40 rep scheme is just enough to make people want to break some of these movements up, knowing that they don't need to per se. And it's going to be pretty fast when it comes to the fact that all these movements that take place in the absence of the run, like you're going to have to go and be eyeing essentially where you're at in the heat of battle as you do so. The 40 GHD sit-ups can't be slow. The 40 box jump overs have to be efficient. And if you have the opportunity to do touch and go, those need to be done that way. If you want to have success in this workout, the time cap's 20 minutes. But I want to fall specifically where my eyes go again as an error in programming. And I haven't been this strongly opinionated about any particular event or any combination of events up until this point in my programming reviews. Now I've had opinions, but none this stark. But 3 days of competing, and we're doing a variation of a snatch in all 3 days. Be better, right? That's just not acceptable. Turn these dumbbell snatches into dumbbell thrusters. Turn them into dumbbell clean and jerks where you alternate arms. Turn them into dumbbell overhead squats, for goodness sake. I mean, anything that's not a snatch, right? And there can even be ties and correlations into the muscle groups that you're going to pre-fatigue. It could be a dumbbell, like I said, a clean and jerk. We could have single arm dumbbell devil press. Now, that might take a little bit more time than they were hoping for. But again, the opportunity is there for them to be more creative than they are currently. I digress, and we move forward onto the final event. It's called Triple Dumbbell Bomb. And I like the creativity here. Four time, 50 double dumbbell deadlifts, 100-foot double dumbbell walking lunge, then 100-foot farmer carries. The weight for men is 100 pounds in each arm, and the weight for women is 70 pounds in each arm. Now, this is going to be a challenging workout that is very much grip dependent and very much focused on grunt work. For the double dumbbell deadlifts, of course, it's going to smoke their posterior as if it wasn't going to be pre-fatigued already, leading in that this is the final workout in a 3-day competition. And then the 100-foot dumbbell walking lunge could pose a struggle for a lot of athletes. They do, it seems, get to hang the dumbbells down by their sides, of course, in like that farmer carries position. So it doesn't need to be front rack, doesn't need to be overhead, anything fancy. But for them to be able to uphold a steady pace and not really have to put the dumbbells down very often, it's going to be challenging for many, particularly the shorter athletes. And then, of course, the 100-foot farmer's carry, that's just hopefully they're hook gripping those dumbbells and they're holding on for dear life and just going to be able to bear it as they continue to focus on intensity and finishing the workout fast. But all in all, you know, we're running into some movement redundancy here throughout the weekend with the dumbbell snatches. I do think it's a decent test. I think with a little bit more variability in those movement selections, we can have some, it's not that this is even going to throw off the spectator's perspective. This isn't going to make it boring for us to watch. But I think they could have tested the athletes better. So nonetheless, we're going to continue to advance. And now we're talking about the big show this weekend. What we are here to do, throw down in the Granite Games. Okay. So first of all, as I take a look at the venue is amazing. It is outdoors, which is a downside to me because it is the only one that's been outdoors. So I'm going to consider that a negative. Hopefully we have great weather. It's nice and cool here right now. It's not projected to be hot like it was on these athletes last year. We might get some rain tomorrow. But you know, competing outside is unique and I think maybe can be saved for the CrossFit Games until, of course, you know, every semifinals outside or whatever. But the programming itself, let's dive into event one. Heavy handstand. Reverse Fran, 9:15:21 barbell thrusters at 115 and 80 pounds for the 115 for the men, 80 pounds for the ladies, and then handstand walk in yards. So they really will. It'll be 9 thrusters, 9-yard handstand walk, 15 thrusters, 15-yard handstand walk. I love the flow of this workout. They showed us yesterday at the briefing where the athletes will do 9 thrusters, literally step over the bar right into the handstand walk of 9 yards. Then they go to another bar. Then they do the same thing. Then they go to another bar. Then they do the same thing. And what I like particularly is that there's no turnaround. You don't got to go back to the same bar. It's simply do the work in advance. We're going to see some interesting technique, I think, in this workout, tonight. That some people are going to try to be creative, like shove their thruster bar to the ground immediately and step over it right into handstand walking. We're going to see some people that take more time to like get the bar back and kick it behind them, which could cost them time, or it could be the more safe and steady approach. I believe each one of these handstand walk margins, though, does involve one opportunity to kick down, so they don't have to be unbroken. Which of course takes a little bit of pressure off these athletes, but you got to keep in mind this workout has a 6-minute time cap. It's going to be done extremely fast by the fast handstand walkers. Now, what I like most about this workout is that there's a redundancy here of clearly your hands being overhead. You're going to pre-fatigue your whole body by squatting and pressing overhead, and your triceps are going to get to build some fatigue there. Then the whole time you're handstand walking, that's a lot of time under tension. That set of 15 in the middle of this workout, a lot like what it feels like when it's Fran, is going to dictate a lot of the outcome. So if you see athletes that look really strong as they finish their 15 thrusters and they go directly into that handstand walk that again looks strong, they're going to have a probably solid finish unless something dramatic happens at the end. But there are going to be athletes that start to show a bit of hesitation even as they start with the bar of 15, and then particularly before they kick up into the handstand walk. When you see that type of doubt or hesitation, then you know so much fatigue is start to build up in their shoulders and their triceps that could be a bad sign when you still have about half the reps and half the handstand walking to go in the round of 21. I love this test. Event 2 is the barbell complex. 3 attempts at, 3 cleans, 2 front squats, and 1 shoulder to overhead. Now, this has a unique placing because of what these athletes are already experiencing in that day. So their shoulders are going to be smoked. Their legs aren't going to be smoked. I don't believe any athlete really is showing up to the Granite Games after 45 thrusters at 115 pounds and going to feel like, oh, my legs are gone. However, the shoulder to overhead, we know, is the primary limiter for the vast majority of the field. Now, there are some athletes with an excellent jerk, and their jerk does outperform their leg drive for the clean and the squats. But it's rare. And so I like that we've now added a new twist to this. What's your upper body recoverability like? How many reps can you tolerate? How many contractions can you tolerate and under a heavy load? And the barbell complex is going to be something where you focus on every single rep and you can't take anything for granted. And you really have to have great leg drive on that jerk and really get the bar up and back to solidify that overhead position specifically because of what took place earlier in the day. So I like the location of this workout. Then we're going to get a sleep. We're going to get lots of hours to kill in the morning. And then Saturday, we run into the Minnesota mashup. Now, day 2 for me is high volume and it's high capacity. There's going to be some athletes that we see excel in day 1, which I like when there's themes this way because we get so much turnover in the leaderboard often. But there's going to be some athletes that come out of day 1 feeling like they're on cloud 9, feeling fantastic and amazing about themselves. And then day 2 is going to smack them right in the face and punch them in the jaw. And one of each. It's not going to be at the same time. It's going to smack them first in the face, right? Like on the side cheek. And then as they regroup and they look, turn their eyes back to whomever smacked them, the Minnesota mashup, the speed chipper is going to come and then punch them square in the jaw. So I like balance that way. But the Minnesota mashup is 10 wall ball shots, 20 pounds for men, 14 for ladies, nothing fancy there, 50 GHD sit-ups, then 20 wall ball shots, 40 single arm dumbbell overhead squats. Hey, a movement that the Far East Throwdown probably could have threw in when I was being critical about all their snatches. And these are at 70 pounds for men and 50 for the ladies. Now, I like this movement because of the element of skill and positioning. Again, we pre-fatigued the shoulders and the arms yesterday to have this here amongst the wall balls and everything else. I like it. Then we advance into 30 wall ball shots. And if you guys can't get the theme of this workout, it goes 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 with the wall balls with movements in between that are actually going the opposite way down. So we had the 50 GHDs, then we got the 40 single arm dumbbell overhead squats. Then we got more wall balls, of course, with the 30s. And then the 30, the big chunk of this workout right in the middle of this Minnesota mashup is the 30 ring muscle ups. This is going to be the differentiator for the women, and this is going to be a highly influenceable part of this workout for the men as well. How they break them up, how often they break them up, how their last 12 ring muscle ups go, because the first 18 don't mean a darn thing. Everybody out there is going to have the capacity to streamline through 15 to 18 reps pretty darn quick. and in as many sets as they need to or want to. And then the latter 12, that's what's going to dictate your pace and your outcome for the rest of this workout. Then they get back to the wall ball for 40 wall ball shots, then 200 double unders, which we still don't know. Could be a weighted rope or some kind of twist there. It could just be their rope. I think at this point in this workout, it can certainly be their rope and it'll still be just as devastating. Then we go 50 wall ball shots again, and then 10 dumbbell clean and jerks with 70 and 50 pounds. The time cap for this workout is 25. Now, this is one of the longer workouts in the weekend. They seem to have a pretty good balance of time domains here already, right? We've got a 6-minute workout super fast. We've got a max lift early. Then now we've got a 25-minute chipper here with some high volume skills and high volume contractions as well. And then they're going to get to rest for about an hour or so, an hour and a half, and they're going to go through what's called the speed chipper. Now, this workout is more devastating than I believe it sounds and reads. And it is for time, 120-yard shuttle run, which absolutely means nada. So don't run too fast, homies. Then 16 snatches. The 16 snatches are 175 pounds for the men and 120 pounds for the ladies. Those are barbell snatches, likely with a short bar in my mind. Then 36 chest to bar pull-ups, then a 160-yard shuttle run, which again means nada, 36 chest to bar pull-ups, and 16 snatches at 175, 120. Time kept 10 minutes. Now, when I think about this workout, gang, here's what I think. I think the run can be a trap, and I think the pull-ups can be a trap, and I think you're going to spend most of the workout doing 32 snatches at 175 pounds and 120 pounds. And even 32 snatches at those weights for the men and women at this level might not sound particularly a lot, but it is a lot when you're doing 72 chest to bar pull-ups amongst it. The run is a bit of a time keeper or pacer. The run in the middle, I think, is cool. I don't know why we start with the run, but the run in the middle is cool because it allows these athletes to keep a higher power output, right? But there are athletes who might look at 36 chest to bar pull-ups and they're going to be like, hey, cool, I'm going to do these 36 chest to bar pull-ups unbroken and I'm going to go really fast. And I think, awesome, do it. I hope to see you, you know, suffer. Because 36 chest to bars, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And when I look at that number, I think it's easy to be tempted into going big sets. And then just remember, you do need to pull on the barbell. And what happens when we do chest to bar pull-ups or pull-ups? Many of you may be curious to this, or you might not even have any idea or care to know. But your heart rate continues to climb. As you move this movement is so short and so cyclical, it's not a problem for the athletes at this level to do the chest to bar pull-ups. But again, this workout isn't about chest to bar pull-ups. It's about the 32 snatches that you're going to do. That's what's going to take the longest in regards to where you're spending your time for this workout. Those 36 chest to bars can go down real quick. And the problem with that is that if your heart rate continues to trend upward as you execute them to get to the bar, particularly on the back half of this workout, those 16 snatches are going to feel much harder and feel very different than you want them to feel. So while this workout overall will be a quick workout, it's going to be a paced, fast workout. It's not a sprint, and it's defined as a speed chipper. I would just categorize it as a chipper because it's going to be very completely different and involve a completely different mindset and psyche in execution than heavy handstand reverse Fran, which was a 6-minute time cap. So again, what I like most is that day two is very different than day one, and that day two is all about energy systems and metabolic pathways and knowing yourself. Knowing yourself is a tremendous, tremendous deal. Day one, you're going to get to hammer it down and go green light and just see who can go stupid and then who can go heavy. On the Minnesota mashup and the speed chipper, it's going to take a little bit more intellectual and self-awareness, which I'm a big fan of when it comes to execution at the sport. And then we're going to get a good sleep, and then we're going to get to start the day off just a touch earlier, and we're going to get another long event. Good for you, Granite Games. I like work capacity. I'm biased, but that's me. Endure the sled for time. 50-yard sled push, 30 lane-facing burpees, 50-yard sled push, 1K run, 100-calorie echo bike for men, 70-calorie echo bike for women. 1K run, 50-yard sled push, 30 line basing burpees, 50-yard sled drag. Oh, I'm sorry, 50-yard sled drag. Both sleds on the back half of that last run are drags. Time cap 27 minutes. Okay, folks. This workout has a lot of stuff in it. This workout is really 1K run, 170 cal 100 for men, 70 cal for ladies echo bike, and 1K run. That's a workout, if you ask me. Yeah, you can win and lose some time on 60 lane facing burpees throughout, and you can win and lose some time potentially on the sled push and sled pull. However, the meat and potatoes of this workout is how you do what you do in the 1K run, the bike, and the 1K run. Folks, that's a lot of work. And if you don't know yourself and you don't know when and how and where you can push, it's going to be a struggle, because then it's going to, of course, devastate what you could potentially do on the sled drag and sled push and burpees as well. The buy-in with the sled push and the burpees, that's really an opportunity to be completely trapped, meaning that if you start this workout too fast, if you do those burpees too fast just to compete head-to-head, just to keep up head-to-head, you can kill yourself on the run. Now, if you're a great runner and great biker, you're looking at this as an opportunity. Okay, look, I'm going to throttle this up a little bit. I'm going to make everybody come out of their own comfort zone, and I'm going to make them gas pedal it early, and I'm going to eat them up on the run and the bike. Then you're going to be able to coast on the back half of this workout, because you've just blown up all your competitors. You've drawn them out of their own comfort zone, but they were eyeing you the whole time because they potentially knew that you were the one to beat on this particular workout. Now, wise competitors, ones that watch you come out too hot, they're going to just run their own race. They're going to say, haha, I know that game, but I know myself. I like this workout because it can become very much a psychological stressor and psychological challenge, and I'm here for it. Then we didn't talk about one event all weekend, and it is the legless rope climb event. I love so much that they left this to the end. What a home run and a way to finish this weekend. There is duress that you have to execute this workout with at this point for the women. There's duress that you have to execute with for the men. It's going to be fast for the men. We've seen that in multiple semifinals so far in the first 3 weeks. And for the ladies, it's really going to be at the top. It'll be a fast race. But throughout the rest of the field, it's going to be, hey, am I ready for this climb? I don't know, but this other girl's already climbing and she's ahead of me, so I need these points. And right, there's difficult decisions that have to be made. And I think navigating them through this 2014 regional event 5, 10 rounds for time, one legless rope climb to 15 feet, run 170 feet, is going to be a challenge. So I love the fact that this is the last workout of the weekend. Granite Games, great job overall. I think the execution of the programming is pretty darn spot on. I mean, you're testing different energy systems. You are testing different movements. You're testing with unique loading. I love the speed chipper. I love the Minnesota mashup. I love heavy handstand Fran. Guys, all in all, I love all four of the pieces that you have present for these athletes. I think we're going to get a high level of competitor that comes out of this semifinal, and we've certainly got some high level athletes that are in the field. So we're going to have a great show. This is going to make for an exciting weekend, and I'm super pumped to see what takes place. Hopefully you guys have been enjoying these podcasts. I've enjoyed doing them. This is another programming review concluded. We are week 3 of these semifinals. These athletes are doing their thing. We're watching people punch their ticket left and right. And now my biggest thing, guys, who do you want to hear on the podcast? Who do you want to hear me interview, athlete to athlete? And even think about some of these coaches that are out there in the space navigating the season with these athletes, training up these athletes, helping them through and along their journeys. Who do you want to hear from? What coaches, what teams, help guide me to reach out to some of these athletes. Drop me a review. The more positive, the better, of course. So if you got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. No, I really appreciate you guys as listeners, and hopefully you're enjoying this. I know that I will have a busy weekend. I'm getting geared up to, of course, be here to coach Chase and support him through his journey this weekend. I can't wait to watch the kid take the floor. And then I am also in preparation for next weekend. I've got Michelle taking the floor at Atlas Games, and I myself will be taking the seat in the commentator's position. So a lot of prep there. A lot of good fitness to enjoy and warm up and cool down from and game plan for. But in the meantime, let's enjoy the show. Thanks for joining me, guys. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend.